Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is April the 4th, and I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
It's not completely freezing outside.
No, it's warming up a bit.
No. My son is in flag football, and every Saturday I'm like, if this doesn't start warming up, we're going to have to cancel the season.
Yeah. Well, this coffee that I'm drinking is cold.
Oh.
It's been sitting in this cup a while, and sipping on it a while, and it's kind of cold.
But. Yeah. Well, you know, around here, whatever way we can get caffeine, we're
going
to get caffeine.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good to, it was great Sunday back in John. This is one of my favorite stories, by the way. And I love the raising of Lazarus. Because I think I was at we had like a Bible discussion at a youth camp. It was like a student staff kind of camp where we were staffing, and that we would discuss narratives. And I remember this guy going, what was it like just to hang out with Lazarus after this? Like, hey, bro, you were like in the grave 2 days ago, you know? So it's interesting. Just a great story. And
sign. The seventh sign of Jesus in the book of John.
Right.
And just amazing. You know, I never, I'm always amazed and always appreciate the way the Bible's written, the way the Gospels were written.
Yeah.
Inspired by the Holy Spirit. And used these men to write these things, and these men wrote in ways that were thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And you think about, you know, the seven signs in the first half of John, each of them pointing to something about Jesus, some revelation of Jesus and his work in the kingdom. And this seventh one, a man dies and is raised from the dead, and he puts it right here in this part of John. And then just within a few, what we have as chapters, John didn't write in chapters, but what we have as chapters, and just a few verses really you've got Jesus entering into the final week of his life, and he is heading to the cross. He's going to be crucified, and then he's going to be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way John ties that material in, and really the way it happened in the life of Jesus, the way God orchestrated Jesus' life to go, and then the way that has been revealed to us in the Scripture is just amazing. To see God's plan unfold, and I think I'm with you. This is this is one of the great accounts in the Bible that have so much meaning for what the work of Jesus was in the cross and the resurrection.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Well, great text on Sunday. So if you would give a little bit of an overview of the sermon, kind of where you were, kind of the main message, all that.
Well, partly what I just said about the sign, but what we want to see in this particular sign is, you know, Lazarus is ill, but by the time the messenger gets to Jesus to tell Jesus that Lazarus is ill, he has died. And so there's a 4 day, depending on how long Jesus waited and how long it took the messenger and then Jesus to get to him. So it's a 4 day window there before Lazarus dies and Jesus raises him. Mm-hmm. But in the teaching and in the conversation that Jesus has with his own disciples about the death of Lazarus and the fact that Jesus wasn't there is that Jesus says this illness is so that the glory of God will be revealed. And also the glory of the Son of God. And that theme, that glory theme, plays out through the whole account, because he says the same thing to Mary and Martha. You know, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God.
Right.
So the overarching purpose of Jesus allowing, staying, and then letting Lazarus go ahead and die, and or not being there when he was ill, and then him dying, and then him being raised, is so that God's glory can be revealed. And then we talked about how God's glory was revealed in three ways, in that Jesus is revealed as the resurrection and the life, and that many people came to believe in him, and then finally, that it pushes the plan of God forward, which we're going to pick up on this upcoming Sunday. Right. So that's the overview.
It's an incredible text, and you know, talking about, you know, this is meant for the glory of God. I, you know, I always found it. One of the verses that always stood out to me in this is when he's talking at the very beginning and he's saying he loves Lazarus,
mm-hmm.
yet he stays mm-hmm. two more days.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you read that, you go, oh, I thought you loved him. Why are you staying put?
Yeah.
And just, there's so much there, I think, in those two lines about he wanted the glory of God to be revealed and he knew. Yeah. It's just, it's amazing. It's just unbelievable to see God's plan unfold.
Yeah, that is an interesting. I read that. And, you know, I think at one point I thought maybe Jesus stayed so that Lazarus could go ahead and die. But I think maybe what it means is this, that Jesus knew Lazarus had already died, even though the messenger said he's ill, because the messenger didn't know he was,
right.
he was
dead. Yeah.
But Jesus knew that. And then he stayed 2 days longer, not to say, well, there's nothing I can do. He's already dead. But to say, for whatever reason, in his mind, he knew that that 4 day window mm-hmm. would be important, maybe to show that Lazarus had actually died, or to just build the faith. He put, you know, he put that, there was that 4 day window there in the sovereignty of God before he raised him up.
Because it's so great. However, what that means there, but you could just so see that God's love for us is wanting us to see his glory.
Yes.
Like that's love.
Yes.
Not always necessarily, I don't want to say comfort, but you know, like you said, I mean, they were going to go through grief. They were going to go through pain.
Yeah.
But yet he knew that what was going to ultimately help them is for them to see his glory.
Yeah.
Which is,
that's so a great point, you know, because we might often think, if God loves me, why has he let me go through this human experience?
Yeah.
And, you know, we see here that Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and then he also let the human experience of this death play out.
Mm-hmm.
So God lets us be human with all of its ups and downs and pain, still loves us, and he will let us see the glory of God if we have faith in
Which
Christ.
Is the ultimate love. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ultimate grace, right, to be able to see that glory.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, good.
That's helpful. All right, so I got a few questions here. So the first question is more of, hey, can you explain this a little further? So verses 9 and 10, you may want to read those verses, but kind of help us. What's Jesus saying here?
Yeah. Okay. John 11, verses 9 and 10. First, let me set it up. Jesus has heard that Lazarus is ill. He stayed 2 days longer where he was. And then he said, all right, disciples, let's go.
Yeah.
And the disciples say, oh, we're going to go right back to a place where they wanted to stone you. We're going to that area of where they wanted to kill you. Mm-hmm. You're going to go there again? And then in verse 9, Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So it's almost like a proverb, like like Jesus is almost quoting a proverb here. And I would say that what Jesus is saying to his disciples at that moment is he's likening his life on earth to a day.
Yeah.
There's a particular appointed time that Jesus is here. And he's going to walk in the day. He's going, and that means he's going to do everything the Father told him to do while he is in the day of his life, the daytime of his life. And if he does that, he won't stumble. He will be obedient.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they kill him.
Right.
He knows that's his ultimate calling anyways, to die on the cross.
Right.
So he's not worried about them killing him. What he wants to do is walk in the day, fulfill the work that God has called him to do while it's still called day, and not stumble or not be disobedient to the will of God. But if he doesn't, it would be like he's walking in the night.
Right.
And that he would stumble.
Right.
So that's, and he's saying it to the disciples too. If you, it's daytime for you.
Yeah.
You know, God has you here.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity to follow Christ. It's daytime.
Yeah.
Walk in the daytime. Walk in obedience.
Right.
You won't stumble if you do that. You'll actually see the light of the world. Yeah. You'll be
even if harm's coming.
That's right. Even if harm is coming, you won't stumble.
Yeah.
There are in other words, there's something worse than being killed for your faith.
Hmm.
And that's being disobedient to God.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is saying that he's saying about himself, but to his disciples, if you will walk in the daytime in obedience while you have the opportunity, you won't stumble.
Yeah.
You'll see the light of this world. You'll be following me, who is the light of this world. So I think that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples there. And so he's saying, come on, guys.
And we got a response to the comment of, you're going to die if you go back there.
That's right. You go back there. That's where they want to say. He says, well, okay, let them.
But that's obedience.
That's obedience.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, that's helpful clarification. The latter part of our time, I want to talk more about application.
Okay.
But you were tying this in maybe to your own prayer life, mm-hmm. but about how it impacts our prayer.
Yeah.
But so can you kind of talk about what you were speaking about in the sermon about prayer and how this text in particular helps shape our prayer life?
Yeah. Well, it is interesting that I got to prayer out of this text. and I'll be honest with you, I didn't intend to do that as I was meditating on this and working on this earlier last week. But by the time I got to Sunday morning, Saturday writing and Sunday morning reviewing, I thought, you know, I want to talk about prayer, mm-hmm. at least briefly here, because mm-hmm. what Jesus is saying is that this illness is for the glory of God, mm-hmm. and the death and then the resurrection is all for God's glory. And that just reminds us that mm-hmm. really the whole creation is for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. That sin in our human experience is what has separated us from the glory of God, mm-hmm. understanding it, seeing it, experiencing it, and then being able to glorify God in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that Jesus' death and resurrection is to restore the glory of God in us and us to it in experience. And so that theme was just rolling around in my mind, and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of the ultimate prayer, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I was also reading in John 12 and 13, which we're going to get to in a few weeks, where Jesus is looking, he's staring down his death. He's looking, he says, it's the hour of my death. The hour has come. You know, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to say, this is in John 12, am I supposed to say, Father, save me from this hour? No. Mm-hmm. For this reason, I came to this hour. I mm-hmm. came to suffer. And then he says, Father, glorify your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go to chapter 17. Father, the hour has come.
Yeah.
Glorify the Son that the Son may glorify you. There's Jesus praying the ultimate prayer for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So that was all in my mind as I was mm-hmm. thinking about this passage when Jesus said this illness is not unto death. It's to the glory for the glory of God and the glory of the Son. And it just reminded me that, you know, I want to learn to pray for the glory of God.
Yeah,
I want to partner. You know, I'm seeing prayer more and more as a partnership. If God calls me to pray and tells me how to pray in the Bible, and then God works, then apparently in God's ordaining sovereign will has said prayer is the means by which I work, and I want to teach you and the church how to pray in partnership. And the way we do this mm-hmm. is to pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's glory. To be done. And that doesn't mean we can't pray. We should pray for specific things.
Right.
But the specific things that we're praying for are motivated by God getting glory in our lives. I even went to this thing about the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. I was over there meditating on that, thinking how he said, you know, he was talking about his own death, and he said, whether it's by life or by death, I want Christ to be honored always in my body, by life or by death.
Yeah.
And there's the same, it's the same prayer, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
How I live or ever how I die, when I live, when I die, what I'm doing when I'm living, mm-hmm. how I die, I want it to be honoring to Christ and glorifying to God. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about that. That was it. I think I tied it into fear too.
Yeah. So talk about that. You were talking about how what you just said, praying for His glory. Sometimes you would go to prayer. You were talking about your own personal experiences. Mm-hmm. Man, I just realized that I'm praying out of fear. I'm not praying for the glory. I'm praying out of fear.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, that was a bit of personal testimony, I guess, in the sermon, and I hope everybody's okay with me doing that every now and then. And I have just discovered in my life that often when I am wrestling through something, when things are unsettled in my life or something in the church or somebody in the church or even something in the world and I'm a bit unsettled, I find myself starting out praying and then sort of drifting into a stewing kind of a brooding sort of a feel and mood, you know, and I realize at that moment I'm not really praying about anything.
Yeah,
I am just sitting in my stuff, you know, in my mind. I'm living in my head, and I and I'm actually getting deeper and deeper into pessimism.
Yeah,
you know, or fear or fretting, or I am working harder and harder to figure out a way to fix a situation to make it better. Instead of really coming to the Lord and saying, Father, glorify your name.
Yeah.
Father, what is your will revealed to me in the Bible that I need to pick up and pray into this situation, this person, my heart, you know, this opportunity. And so just trying to learn how to pray in what I'm calling pray by faith in partnership with God rather than pray in fear or in fretting or in fixing mode.
Yeah. So here's a good question, and this could be our last question to follow up on what you're talking about, prayer, Lord God, how we run to fear. But there's probably people out there that were in the sermon on Sunday, and they're like, man, Scott, I'm in a place in life where I'm really struggling, whether it's struggling with doubt, I'm in a really tough place in life, things around me feel like they're falling apart. It's just a tough season.
Yeah.
How does praying for his glory help people in those types of places? Like, how do you feel like that can help people in their mind in, as they pray for his glory in the midst of that world?
Well, there is a, there is a sense where when we get a vision of what God is doing in the world, and really to glorify his name, and then he makes these, he gives us these promises in the Bible, like he's going to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And then his purpose is to conform us to the image of Christ that we might share in his glory. So see, there's the connection again. When our minds are up on that level, I don't mean escape to that level. I don't mean escape the realities of the world. I just mean we're thinking like that. Then we start to pray differently about the situations of our lives, and we can grow in a sense of faith that ultimate will of God is going to be accomplished for us as believers.
Yeah.
So that if things don't turn out the way we want them to right now, we don't have to despair. We don't have to think that that God's not coming through. We just don't get to see things right now the way we want to. And so there's an encouragement. It's all by faith, isn't it?
Right.
There's an encouragement if we can ask the Lord to grant us the ability to trust him. It can bring peace to our hearts, you know, knowing that whatever happens immediately is not final.
Right.
You know, final is God's glory.
Yeah.
And us being brought into it to share it. So I think it can give us a bit of comfort. I think it can probably direct what we ask for.
Yeah.
You know, yes, Lord, I'd like relief right now, if you don't mind. Let's do, you know.
Yeah.
But not my will, your will be done. Glorify your name. And if you get glory, which you will, through the suffering, then okay.
Yeah.
You know, it... Because that's the ultimate promise of God is his glory and bringing us into it by conformity to Christ.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because I was thinking about this morning. There's a few things in my life that were making me a little unsettled and maybe frustrated. And I started thinking about what you said on Sunday about his glory. And as my mind was drifting, it kind of realigned what needed to be realigned. The discomfort didn't necessarily go away.
Yeah.
But maybe it made me go, would I be okay with the discomfort if it led to his glory? Okay. That helped me not.
It helps us.
My frustration went away.
Yeah.
And maybe my sinful thoughts went away.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the discomfort didn't go away, but allowed me to realign with what's the ultimate purpose here.
Yeah.
So I think that's helpful. I think when you talked on Sunday about prayer, that was really helpful to me to think, okay, that really does remove some of that, for me at least, the frustration, maybe the annoyance, mm-hmm. maybe me trying to figure it out and going, I'm just going to rest mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in his glory and say, mm-hmm. God, I don't know what's going on, mm-hmm, but I'm going to mm-hmm, trust you because mm-hmm. I want your glory to be made known.
Yeah.
So
that's another word I'll start using then. I've said mm-hmm. praying out of fear and praying fear and fretting, and then praying with the desire to fix it. And I'll just start using that one too, praying out of frustration.
Yeah.
And okay. Fear and frustration and things are going to drive us to prayer, of course.
Yeah.
So let's be human. We're human. Mm-hmm. But in it, I think if we understand what God is doing in the world and through mm-hmm. the death and resurrection of Christ and the work mm-hmm. of the Spirit in our lives, that he's bringing us into conformity to Christ to share in his glory, and he's going to glorify himself. It yeah. does. Even if we start with fear, frustration, yeah. trying to fix it, yeah. it shapes the way we pray. It emboldens our hearts. It gives yeah. us hope. We can get up, go yeah. obey
yeah.
another day, yeah. knowing that God's going to glorify us.
Because I don't think, and I'm glad you said what you just said, because I don't think we're not saying, don't be honest with the Lord.
That's right.
Well, I mean, come on. He knows your heart. Mm-hmm. But it's just trying to work through all of that fear mm-hmm. and frustration and maybe anger and realigning it with yeah. God's purpose. Yeah. So it's not about, we'll hide from God.
That's good. And this is going to be a long podcast.
Sorry.
That's
okay.
That's good, because here's what I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to say I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not frustrated. I don't care if it makes people a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. You know, my wife and I will be talking, and I'll say, well, here's my fear. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going on inside of me right now. Here's what's frustrating me right now. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what I want. And then I'll say, now, what I want to do is I want to come to God in faith, call out to him for his glory, let him realign my heart mm-hmm. and my mind, mm-hmm. and I want to be obedient to him
yeah.
and trust him to take care of this through prayer, okay? Yeah. But I'm not going to start out with, I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. I'm not frustrated. No, I'm good. No, I may give you an I'm good because I'm in the gathering hall at 10 o'clock and I just don't have time because I got to get the mic on and preach. So I may give you a fake little answer and just, okay, excuse me for that one. But in general, you know, yeah. I don't want to deny my humanness,
right?
Because I don't think I'll ever grow if I do that. I right. want to grow. I want to be yeah. conformed to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's helpful. I think that's super encouraging to know, because again, I don't want people to hear that and go, oh, I just got to ignore that. But
yeah.
the reality is the Lord goes, well, even if you're not going to really tell me with your words, I can see in your heart and I yeah. know you're frustrated.
Yeah.
I know you're fearful, yeah. but it's all going, help me. Mm-hmm. Help me to get to that place that mm-hmm. says what Paul prayed for mm-hmm. in Philippians is like, whether by life or death.
Life or death.
Come on, let's go. It's your glory.
Christ be honored. That's right.
So that's him conforming us. Yeah. So, well, thank you. This is, I know, a little longer than normal, but I think helpful. And so may it help shape our prayer life this week.
Thanks.
And look forward to another sermon in John.
All right. Thank you.